Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read one verse of scripture this morning. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Every one of us who enter into this world, God has given us a timetable. It's like He gives us a clock and He winds it. Everybody's clock is different. I've already used 58 years and 2 months of my time, and I don't know how much time I have left. And He tells us in Psalms that 70 years is our time. Except for strength, we may have 80. Now, looking in my family history, there have been many who have lived into their late 70s and 80s and even into their 90s. So from a genetic standpoint, I could live to be 90 if the Lord didn't come. But I think what we see here is God has given us a time, not knowing how much time we have, and we don't need to waste that time. Amen. He says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Now, redeeming means to buy up or buying the opportunity. Every day of our life, we have time, 24 hours, in which to use. We have many opportunities in that 24-hour period. And the problem we have is people don't use it for the purpose that God has given it to us. It's not personal time. It's not to do whatever I desire. Our time is to be used for God. Every day of our life as the children of God, we have many opportunities to tell this lost and dying world where our real citizenship is. Amen. We need to seize every opportunity. I share my classroom with another teacher this year. When I'm gone out of my classroom, he teaches U.S. history. I usually go back into the room 10 or 15 minutes before my next class starts, and he was teaching the other day about how when the English became the superpower of this world back in 16 or 1700s, I forget the exact date now, and he said there was this giant storm came along and just wiped out the Spanish Navy, and the English declared it was the providence of God. He says, no, I don't believe that. He says, how do we know it happened? I said, I know. It was the providence of God. He said, well, I think Satan had something to do with it. Well, Satan may have wanted it to happen, but it was the providence of God. And every opportunity that comes into our life is the providence of God. There's no one that crosses our path that God had not ordained that they cross our path. And we're to use that time for God's honor and for God's glory. A few months ago, there was two young men knocked on my door dressed in white shirts and ties and had a little tag on them. And they said, we're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I said, no, you're not.
Amen.
Well, how can you say that? It says that right here. And I says, the Bible says you're not. And as the conversation went on, they said, what do you think of Joseph Smith? And I think he's the same thing as Muhammad. He's a false prophet.
Amen. Amen.
But you don't do it in a nasty way. Because the opportunity was to bring them back around to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because unless they hear, they're going to perish.
Right.
Unless they hear and believe. And they have to hear first. And as far as time, in our life. We look in Ecclesiastes for a second. This was quoted some from this week. But pay attention to what he tells us here. He says in verse chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." In other words, every day that we live in this life, every year we spend upon this earth, there's a plan and purpose that God has put into our life, and we're to look to Him for the plan and the purpose that He's placed us here. But as we pass along, he says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Everything that God has placed in time has a specific time. As I've said, I've already spent 58 years and 2 months upon this earth. I don't know how many years I have left. I believe earnestly that all of us here today very likely could leave at the same time. But was talking to a very good friend of mine in Michigan who's a couple months younger than me, and on his birthday, and he said, "You've called just to rub it in that I turned 58. And I said, "No, I can't do that. I'm already there." I says, and as we was talking, I said, I looked in the paper that day, and there was some prominent individual from Hopkinsville who had just died, and he was 80 years old. And I says, when I got to looking into that, I thought, 80's not that far away. You know, I'm 58. That's only 22 years. You look back 22 years. If you're my age, you can look back 22 years, and it's not that long ago. Time. Time is of essence. Time is precious. Amen. And the time we have is to be spent to the honor and the glory of God. In our verse, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. As we look upon this world that we live in, it's evil morally and spiritually. In looking in Ephesians here at 6:12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." No matter where you look in this world, we're battling evil. There are those who are in high places in our government at this time that just soon walk in here and shut this down. There's people on the world level of high places that just as soon execute us as to look at us. And but by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit still being in this world, they would. Thank God that when it comes to that point, we'll be gone. This entire world that we live in is lying in wickedness, according to 1 John 5:19. This whole world is in wickedness. This whole world has no time for the true and the living God. Yet we are the representatives of Him. Look in 2 Timothy for a moment. This world that we see around us is only going to continue to get worse. It's going to get more evil as time goes by. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, he says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived."
Amen.
This world is going to wax, or it's going to get worse. It's going to grow more worse as time goes by. And we're going to feel it.
Amen.
We're going to experience it. But we're not to back up.
Amen.
We're not to forsake our God because times get worse. In fact, I believe that we should rise up even greater and be a greater witness as the days grow more evil. And it's not the evil world we see around us, the sin, the homosexuality, the immoral practices of people, the teaching of children in grade school how to have sex. That goes on.
That's right.
The coming towards the legalization of drugs, and that's headed that way.
Yes.
The legalization of pornography. It's all coming. But it doesn't hold a candle to the wickedness of religion. This is a religious world we live in. And what's sad is many times we sit on the sidelines wasting time, and their prophets are out knocking on doors. Where are we? What are we doing? We have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's too many people that the only time that they're religious is Sunday morning. And then they're late. Come in just prior to the introduction of the text verse for that morning and look at the clock 15 minutes later to see if you're done. That's the religious world we live in today. Got too many things to do on Sunday night. Got friends to see, places to go. Wednesday night, what's that? You know, that's party night, isn't it? We're living in a wicked world. We're living in a world today that people want a foot inside the church door while they dwell in the world. I recall as a child, I used to hear some of the older folks say that there was people that wanted to be in the church and have their foot in the world. Let's reverse now. What are we doing with our time? All the time that we have, all the time that we have should be used as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. He says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." If you could take those verses in your time that you have and apply that to begin with everything you do in word or deed. That means when you speak and when your actions of your life take place, if you do it all to the Lord. Now, I think people forget that no matter where you're at, no matter whose company you're in, the Lord is present.
Amen.
And you're to conduct yourself as His child. If you do that, many times they'll inquire of you, why don't you do this? Why don't you dress that way? Why don't you speak that way? Why don't you go here with us? Because I don't want to embarrass my Lord. I've been redeemed. I've been washed by the blood of Christ. I'd bring shame upon His name if I did such. He says, as far as doing everything in word and deed, our life many times is the only Bible anybody's going to read.
Amen.
Look in 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Beginning in verse 1. Paul says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some other epistle of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In other words, as we go about this world, I know Paul's talking to Corinthians whom he preached to, but as I preach to my people at Northside, and they, if they would apply what is preached and go out, they are my epistle. When I go out, and everyone who has been here during this conference and have heard these great men of God preach, you apply that, you go out, you're their epistle. People, observe us.
Amen, brother.
You say you're a child of God. You say you're a Christian and you spend your time in the world. Do you spend it representing your God and Savior?
Amen.
Or do you do it serving your flesh? People observe that. How many times have you been out knocking on doors? Somebody answers the door and you introduce yourself and tell you who you are and what you're there for. And they say, now, wait a minute. Her next door, or him over there, or them over there, if you know, they're supposed to be members of such and such a church. And if that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want my testimony to be like that. I don't want somebody to say, well, if he's what a child of God is like, or if he's what a preacher is, I don't want anything to do with it.
Amen.
I want to be able to represent in the time that God has given me my Savior.
Amen.
When you walk through Walmart, the grocery, can folks look at you and see that you're different than the rest of the world? We can't prevent those things that are in the newsstand. That pornography that they allow on the newsstands. We can't prevent those that come in and are scantily dressed. We can't prevent that. But we don't have to stand and stare at it. We don't have to stand and read the headlines on those vile magazines. We're the representatives of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've got time, as long as we're breathing in this world, to represent our God.
Amen.
Note again in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. He says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men.
Amen.
Don't become righteous just because somebody walks in and they know who you are. You don't have to put on a show for me. I'm not the one you have to give an answer to. But I'm to do everything heartily as unto the Lord. I'm to take the time that He has given me and use it to His honor and to His glory. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I'm not giving out your inheritance. I'm not giving out your reward. I remember probably 30 years or more ago, Brother Wilbert Johnson preaching on the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, the rewards we receive in glory at the judgment seat of Christ are not what men observe here. He says, what we think is right and worth rewarding is a whole different than what God judges. Mainly because God looks upon the heart. God judges the heart, not what we just say from our mouth. And also in spending our time noting that He is the one who's going to give the reward, there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be ashamed at His appearing.
Yes.
A whole lot who profess to be the children of God, and if they're redeemed by the blood of Christ, they are. But if their life is not spent honoring their God, they're going to be ashamed at His appearing.
Yeah.
The Lord did say also, will I find faith when I come? And I don't think He's talking about believing faith there. I think He's talking about practicing faith.
Amen.
How many practice what they say they believe? How many take the time that God has given us and truly redeem the time? Because the days are evil. You notice that? We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Because the days are waxing worse. Because things are not going to get any better. We who are saved by the grace of God, we need to spend every moment we can truly representing, truly being a verbal as well as a physical witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our churches, and we can see this, everybody talked to, it seems like our numbers are smaller all the time. And we sit back and we wonder why sometimes. And when we make the statement, God adds and God takes away, well, this is true. But does that take away our responsibility?
No.
Now, we can make all the excuses we want, but it doesn't eliminate our responsibility.
Amen.
It doesn't eliminate our responsibility to be the representatives of our Lord in every aspect of our life, every moment of our life. We're living in a generation that's the biggest wasters of time of anybody that's ever lived.
Amen.
Now, I got two grandsons, and Michael, the youngest one, has spent more time with us than Caleb, but I took them fishing. That's enjoyable. Even though if they don't bite in 5 minutes, he's ready to go. But, you ever think of how many people that you run across when you go fishing? You go buy bait. And I always take them to get a treat afterwards. You ever think of, are those people saved? Am I a good representative before them? Could they see in me, even though I'm out doing something that is enjoyable, can they see Christ dwelling in me? Do I take the time to tell them of my Savior? How many times you stood in the checkout line at Walmart and at least give the clerk a track? Seize those opportunities.
Amen. Amen, brother.
People, you know, we think back to Esau. Now, there was a man that wasted some time. Here he was, the eldest son of Jacob. The birthright was his, but he got hungry. And he come to his brother and he says, "Give me some of your portage and I'll give you my birthright." So he did. Then later, when Isaac was blind, and Isaac called him to go get his venison, mama and brother went and got the blessing. Then he wept. Where was he when the time was for him to display his birthright? We have the birthright. We are the children of God. We are the true representatives of the Heavenly Father. Why do we step aside and let the false witnesses embarrass us? Why, when you have a visitation night, do only two people show up? Why, when you have revival services, 60% of the people will show up part of the time? Why do you have a full house on Sunday morning, a half a house on Sunday night, and a fourth of a house on Wednesday night? People aren't taking the time to worship God. They aren't. They're taking their time, that God's time, to entertain themselves. There's a lot of entertainment in this world today. And you know what? A lot of it's coming inside church buildings. I don't know what 2 months from now they're going to have what they call the Super Bowl. And there will be churches that bring widescreen TVs inside the buildings to watch it. You know, it's bad enough that they bring the football game in, but look at the commercials. We waste time. We waste time. There's more auditoriums being built by churches to entertain flesh than there are pews being set to feed the soul and the spirit. Time is upon us. Time is drawing close to an end. We don't have a whole lot of time left. It's too late to sow seed when the harvest is over. You wouldn't think of going out and planting potatoes in November. Harvest is over. And our harvest upon this world is drawing near to an end. We believe the Lord could come before this day is over. He could come before this week is over. He could come before this year is over. We may not have another Thanksgiving conference. But until he calls us, until that trump sounds, we have time. We have time. How are we using that time? Now we know who directs the forces of evil. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. We know that. 1 Peter 5 and 8, just in case you need to be familiarized with that verse. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if Brother Job was here today, he would verify that.
Amen, that's right.
But when you look at Job and you look at your adversary, our adversary can't do anything to us in God unless God gives him permission. Remember that. Everything that he places in our path, he also tells us there in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, he's not going to put anything before us that we can't handle. And when we face it, there will be a way and escape. Satan's going to try us every way we can. He can. But we have greater than Satan on our side. And when we do have tragedies, and I can't think of anybody even who went through Katrina or any of these other storms that have gone through in recent time could have lost more than Job did. He lost his whole family. He lost all of his crops. He lost all of his stock. There was nothing left but he and his wife. And then he was afflicted from head to toe with a boil. I've had one boil in my life, and it was on the side of my neck, and it was the most miserable thing I ever had in my life. Couldn't imagine from one head to toe and all of that. Job did not curse God. The Lord have giveth, and the Lord taketh away. He says, also, can we not expect good at the hands of God and also evil? Look, everything that comes into our life, everything that takes place in our life, God has allowed. Whether it be tragedy, and I'm not saying it's an easy thing to face tragedy. It wasn't an easy thing when I got the phone calls saying that my mother had died. It wasn't an easy thing when I got phone calls saying my dad had died. I'm not saying you can just lay back and say everything's fine and dandy. But how do we approach those things? How do we deal with those things in time? Do we call upon the one whom we are serving? He's our strength. And we can gain strength from our brothers and sisters in Christ who have experienced like things. But time is running out. Time is of an essence. Let's look in Ecclesiastes real quick before we close. Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. I want you, especially you younger folks, to bear in mind what Solomon writes here, and then all of us in the last few verses. Verse 1, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, listen. When you're young and you have energy that is long forgotten in people my age, I always laugh at those that say, oh, I can do as much today at 55 as I did when I was 15. Sure you can. You might be able to do it, but you won't feel as good when you get done.
Amen.
In fact, I've been around people that were 30 years younger than me, I could outwork them. But I didn't. I felt it later. But remember the Lord in your youth. If you're here and you're young and you're saved by the grace of God, use that energy God has given you to His honor, to His glory. Don't be ashamed or act like you're ashamed when you go out in this world to admit, to confess that you're a child of God, that you're saved by the grace of God. You don't have to stand on the street corner with a megaphone and broadcast it. You just have to walk before this world. And be ready to speak when God gives the opportunity. He says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the girders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be dark. Listen, time flies faster than you realize. You may be young. I was a teenager one time too. Almost forgot what it's like, but I was there at one time, and I didn't get to be 58 overnight. There's a lot of years, a lot of time, and I'm like everyone else here that have reached this age or older. I can look back and I can see time that I wasted. But you can't bring back what's already passed. When he's talking about redeeming the time, he's talking about from this time forward. From this day forward, redeem that time. Buy it up. Use it for God's honor and glory. And he says in verses 13 and 14, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. And keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's everybody's duty. It's everybody's responsibility. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything that you say or do, everything that you think, every intent in your heart, God's going to bring into judgment. You're responsible. You're responsible for the time that God has given you upon this earth.
Amen.
And if more physically able and capable you are, the more responsibility He has given you. Or the more responsibility you have before Him. Time. Redeeming the time. For the days are evil.
Amen.